We're going to start today a three-week series leading us to Thanksgiving on Psalm 23. And so there's so many beautiful images in Psalm 23 about who God is to us as his people, as his children. And this morning we're going to reflect on God who is our good shepherd. And so as you prepare your hearts for worship, would you hear these words from Jesus in John 10? So again, Jesus said to them, "Very truly I tell you, I am the gate for the sheep. All who came before me are thieves and bandits, but the sheep did not listen to them. I am the gate. Whoever enters by me will be saved and will come in and go out and find pasture. The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy, but I came that they may have life and have it abundantly. I am the good shepherd. And the good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep." Would you pray with me? And so, Jesus, we come to you this morning. We come to you to greet our friends, and we come to this place to be encouraged in our hearts. We come because we enjoy singing to you. We come because we enjoy hearing from your word. But most of all, we come to this place, oh God, because you are worthy. The good shepherd who would lay down your life for us. You are worthy of our worship. You are worthy of our praise. You are worthy of our gratitude. You are worthy of our very lives. And so here we are. Here we are to live in the abundance that you've promised us. It's an abundance of joy, an abundance of peace, an abundance of goodness. And we have come to lift high your name so that our own hearts might remember that you alone are King, and so that we might go from this place moments from now empowered and encouraged to share the good news far and wide. Jesus is Lord and he's a good shepherd. We love you, O Jesus. Would you be so pleased by what happens in this place? We ask this in your most precious holy name. Amen. If you'll open your Bibles to Psalm 23, unless you already know it by heart. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. And living God, as we turn to your word, we do so as a people whose souls become weary. We do so as a people who experience hunger and thirst deep within our beings. Hunger and thirst for a better world. Hunger and thirst for love and belonging. Hunger and thirst for wisdom and understanding. Hunger and thirst for peace and joy. And so we turn to your word not to just get some more information, but because we trust that the same Spirit who inspired the pen of David would inspire our own ears to hear again of who you are and who we are in you, so that we might actually walk in this beautiful truth, sheep in the pasture of a good shepherd. So, Father God, would you help us hear whatever it is you want us to hear? And so you might help us be whoever it is you've called us to be. And so you might help us do whatever it is you want us to do. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Back in August, in our first month in some change of sabbatical, a guy and I thought it was a good idea to walk 500 miles across northern Spain. Because people do that, it turns out. And it was this beautiful pilgrimage journey, but it wasn't easy. And so we began this pattern early on where every morning as we would begin to walk early in the day, we would hear scripture together. We had a little Bible app and it would give us the scripture of the day and lead us through some prayers. And then together we would sing the song that we just sang, the words of Psalm 23. It helps when your husband can actually sing. It was good. We sing Psalm 23. And then for the rest of the day, for my own personal meditations, we were walking and walking anywhere from 12 to 15 to 19 miles. I would have just this one line of Psalm 23 at a time, and I would just all day meditate on that line. So one whole day, the Lord is my shepherd. The next day, I shall not want. On, and then get to the end of Psalm 23, somewhere around day 20, and start over again. It was just this beautiful song to live in on this journey that we had together. And it's a beautiful song for all of us to live in, this journey of life that our God has invited us into. It's probably one of the first passages of scripture that any of us learned, right? Psalm 23, it's the song of identity. Tells us again who we are. It's a psalm of promise. It's a psalm of beautiful hope. It's a song that is sung for those who have weary hearts, which is all of us at some point, right? Those with anxious hearts, those with wandering hearts. It's a song that welcomes us a million times over to come home, come back to our good shepherd God, who is, we have come to know, Jesus our Lord. And so we're going to take Psalm 23, just line by line for the next 3 weeks to get us up to Thanksgiving. We'll have that week focusing on the table. He prepares a table before me. But we've got lots of work to do before we get to the table because it's all so rich and it's all so good. We're going to see in these next 3 weeks if our hearts can't begin to fully embrace what it actually means to be a people who live in the care of the very best shepherd. The very best Savior that there is and that there will ever be. So we hit the ground running this morning. The Lord is my shepherd. First things first, we've got to ask, but is he? I mean, we say it without even thinking, but is he? Is the Lord really your shepherd? Here's a little picture of what life looks like between a shepherd and his sheep. Every single day, the sheep wake up and they are already waiting for their shepherd. They're looking for his arrival. They're listening for his call because their day cannot begin until their shepherd shows up. And as that shepherd arrives, the sheep arise with him. And as he walks out, they begin to walk wherever he walks. And they stay wherever he stays. And if the shepherd stops, the sheep stop. Where he goes, they go. The shepherd, he's the one that sets the agenda for the day. For all the sheep, he knows where they're headed. He knows the pasture they're going to. He knows if it's near or if it's far. It's his agenda. And the sheep just go with it because they're the sheep and he is their shepherd. I ask again, is the Lord really our shepherd? Is this how we walk with our Jesus? I've got a dog, Charlie. You guys know this. She's still around. They kept her alive. So she did great. And Charlie basically relates to me like a sheep relates to a shepherd. Every day she sleeps in the same bedroom that I'm in, and she will not get up and leave that bedroom until I'm awake. She lays there, and she's probably bored to death, but she's going to wait. And when I wake up, she wakes up. And then throughout the day, in the house, in the office, wherever I am, and she is, everywhere I go, she's watching. I'll think she's asleep across the living room, and I'll try to get up and tiptoe to the bathroom, and there she is. Every single time. Wherever I go, she says, sign me up. I'm coming too. And every time I'm talking, this crazy dog is listening. She will be in a dead sleep, doing that whole doggy snore twitch thing, you know, where you know they're like in another world. And I will say some word that's her favorite word, treat, squirrel, walk, whatever, and her little ears and her dead sleep perk up. Like, I heard that. She's always listening. And we go on walks together. And when we go on these walks, she is 100% of the time fully aware of where I am. And she looks back at me 1,000 times over to see where I'm going because she's going the same way. She never lets herself get out of sight. We call it anxiety, but she never lets herself get out of sight. She's a good sheep. I am her person. and her entire little doggy world revolves around hanging out with me, her person. I am Charlie's shepherd. And the way she relates to me is how sheep relate to their shepherd. They're always listening. They're always watching. They're always looking back saying, I'm not going unless you're coming too, shepherd. Is that how we live with our Lord? Is he really our shepherd? Looking for him, waiting for him, listening for his voice, forming our entire days according to what he's up to. Is he our shepherd? Or are there better metaphors for how our own lives relate to him? Maybe for some, God is more like our physician. We set an appointment to check in with him ever so often, mostly when we need him to help us. For some of us, maybe he's just more like an acquaintance, a Facebook friend even. We like to scroll and see the updates of what he's up to, and we wave at him from here, a time from here to there, and like to kind of post a thing or two about what he's doing, share it, like, yeah, I'm with that guy. But whatever's going on in his life rarely actually affects much of what's going on in my life. Acquaintance, Facebook friend. Or for some of us, if we're honest, the Lord is more like our sheep, and we like to play shepherd. We like to call the shots, plan the day, plan the agenda, and just kind of ask him to come along and make it happen. That doesn't work too well, by the way. Ever so often, Charlie forgets that I'm her person, and she becomes the sheepdog she was created to be, and I'm her sheep, she thinks. And it's usually whenever I'm trying to have fun. If I'm like playing a game with the youth or something, if I start running, she's not having it. And she will come deadbolt right to me and start circling my feet and jumping on me and nipping at me. She can't stand it. And you know what happens when the sheep tries to be the shepherd? She gets locked up. It's like, we're not going to exist like this together. It doesn't work like this. Sheep cannot become the shepherds. It doesn't work. And some of us treat God as if he's the sheep and we are the shepherds. Here's my plan, God. How about you bless it? How about you bless it? What's the metaphor in your life that best works for how your relationship with the living God actually truly functions these days? The Lord is my shepherd. Is he? Really? Oh, I pray that he is for you, and I pray that he is more and more for me, because there is no other way to truly live except for as sheep surrendered to the only good shepherd. Because he alone knows you. And he alone holds in his hands every last thing that you need to be whole. He alone. I shall not want. Now, can this really be true? I shall not want. We talk about wants in here. We're not talking about wanting a private jet plane or wanting to win the lottery, though that wouldn't be so bad these days, right? Or wanting our favorite football team to win today. It's not that kind of wants, because we can want those things all day long. The NIV translation, I like how it says it better. The Lord is my shepherd, and so I lack nothing. It's this idea of this truth that all of us have this innate wanter in us. Things that we may not even actually need at all. But we will lack nothing in his care. Nothing that we actually need to live a life fully alive with our God. Right here and right now. My soul will lack nothing. When the Lord is my shepherd, he is the great provider who loves me and who is with me right here and right now. So I might not win the lottery today, but I lack nothing because my soul is complete in the care of my God. And so if that's all true, and it is, it's true, why do we still feel like we really do lack some things? Because I bet most of us in the room could name a few things that we are lacking, that nag at us. And this feeling of lack, it comes from all kinds of places, all kinds. But just a few to reflect on this morning. Those places in your heart where you're like, I know he's my shepherd, but man, I've got some wants. Sometimes we don't have what we need because we are trying so darn hard to be our own shepherds. We are determined to meet our own needs, to take care of our own stuff, to do life our own way. And maybe it's because we just don't trust that others actually have our best interest in mind. We've tried it. We've been burned before. So we're just going to take care of ourselves. And all the ways those people have burned us, that gets projected onto our God too. And so we'll just be our own shepherds in this world. Some of us, if we're honest, we just like doing it our own way. We don't want somebody else, God or anyone else, telling us where to go and how to get there. But here's the problem with being our own shepherds. One of them is that anybody in this room only sees in part. Not a one of us has any clue about what's around the corner. None of us back in 2019 knew what 2020 was going to bring us. None of us. Even if you watch the news 24/7, you probably especially were confused. But none of us knew. None of us knew that in 2020, we were going to be locked in our homes for months at a time, and people were going to be losing their jobs left and right, and stock markets crashing, and loved ones passing away. We didn't know that. We think that we are all wise and that we are so very capable of shepherding ourselves through these twisty, turny lives that we're in. But even the smartest person in this room right now doesn't have a clue what's in store for us tomorrow. Not one. When we live as our very own shepherds, it turns out that we are always just a phone call away from total devastation. When we're our very own shepherds, we are always just a pink slip away from utter despair. You're like, well, I'm good with all that. When you live as your own shepherd, you are only a raid on Safeway away from hunger and no toilet paper. Well, the richest person in this room couldn't get toilet paper in 2020. We cannot be our own shepherds. We are not as big and as strong and as wise as we think we are. But the Lord is bigger and stronger and wiser than we can even imagine. And He alone is the good shepherd. And then we also stink at being our own shepherds because we are actually not the creators of our souls. And so it's no surprise that we get so very confused about what we actually need. We think we need all kinds of things that we don't need at all. When I was a kid, I knew that I needed moon shoes. You know those shoes with rubber bands that make you jump like this high off the ground? I needed them. It's all I could think about for an entire year. I saved my money. I begged my parents. I could not live as a happy 8-year-old without moon shoes. And I got moon shoes for Christmas that year. And you know what? 2 weeks later, they were broken and I didn't even care. I didn't need moon shoes. It's not just 8-year-olds, all of us. We didn't create these souls in us. And so we think we need all these things that we don't need. These things that we just have to have, and we so quickly get them, and then it's on to the next thing and the next thing because the emptiness is there because we didn't create our souls. We work and we work and we buy and we buy and we seek entertainment 24 hours a day and we travel and we achieve only to come to the end of it all and find that our hearts are still running on empty. And that is because only the good shepherd knows how we're wired. Because He did it to us. And He alone is capable of filling us from the inside out so we actually have what we need in those deepest places of our beings. The Lord alone is the good shepherd. No need to be our own. Just let it go. It's a lot easier that way. And sometimes we feel lack because if we're honest, we just kind of tiptoe around in our life with God. We dabble in the things of God rather than just finally jumping all into this intimate daily walk with Jesus. If you watch sheep for any amount of time, you will learn very quickly that a sheep is going to go hungry if it only hangs out with its shepherd once a week or so. It doesn't work. For that sheep to be well, it has got to wake up and walk with that shepherd every single day. It is only with that shepherd that that sheep stays protected and stays fed and stays well. It can't be a dabbling here and there. I'll see the shepherd maybe next week. No, the sheep has to be with the shepherd. It's just like the prodigal son story. You know the elder son? Remember him? And the younger son goes away and has this crazy living and blows all his dad's money, comes back home dejected and ashamed. The dad embraces him, throws this big old party for him. You remember what the older son's doing during all this? He's like throwing a big older son fit. He's whining and he's pouting. He's not going in the party. He's on the front porch with his arms crossed and he is ticked. And the dad eventually comes out and says, "Older son," I'm sure he had a real name, "what's wrong with you?" And he says, "It's not fair. It's not fair. I've been here with you all the time, and yet you gave all this stuff to the younger son." And he said, "My son," you remember what he said? "Everything that I have has always been yours. Why haven't you taken it?" You see, the older son, he was content just existing in the presence of his father, just sharing the same house. But he missed the invitation that was there before him every day to wake up to the beauty of this relationship, the intimacy his dad had for him right there. He felt lack. He's like, "I'm lacking attention. I'm lacking belonging. I'm lacking love. I'm lacking your blessing, oh, dad." He says, "No, you've always had it. You've always had it. It's been right here. My son, why haven't you woken up to it?" Can't dabble in the presence of God and be a sheep. You got to hang out with him and wake up to his goodness every single day. We feel lack when we just check in with our shepherd, but stop short of living every single moment in his presence. Notice the good shepherd doesn't give his sheep this one huge stockpile of hay to last them the rest of their lives. Say, "Y'all just hang out right here. This will carry you for about, 15 years. No, it's a one day at a time. He wakes them up and leads them to where their hearts need to be. One day at a time, walking with my shepherd, I will lack nothing. Finally, lots of times, most of the times I think we feel lack because we forget that all this talk of shepherds and sheep always infers this one thing that we don't think about. It's called a flock. You ever seen a shepherd with one sheep? Doesn't happen. It's not lucrative. What's the point? Shepherds don't have one sheep. Shepherds got a whole flock of sheep, anywhere from 5 to 10 to hundreds. This life of lacking nothing, it is inferred that it must be a life that is shared in community with other sheep who are in God's good care together. It is a life that is lived with his people. You see, we the church, we know that we are the body of Christ for one another. And we are called, every single person in this room, we are called to this place to share our gifts with each other, to bless each other, to help each other grow up in Jesus, to care for each other, to live without lack together. If the Lord is your shepherd, my friends, would you hear this? If the Lord is your shepherd, you don't get to live life apart from his flock. It just doesn't work. Shepherds have flocks. You don't get to hold his people at arm's length so they don't bother you too much. No, if the Lord is your shepherd, these sheep, like right here, these sheep, who are your family? Hi, wave at them. That's your people. That's your people, like it or not. And when one of us falls, we all fall. And when one of us is hungry, we are all hungry. And when one of us is lonely, all of our hearts carry that with them. Caring for each other, devoted to each other, as a flock in the care of a good shepherd, then we will lack nothing. Have you ever watched a flock of sheep in action? That video you saw in the children's message, just try to picture it again. I tell you, they are all over each other. They run into each other left and right. They're leaning on each other, pushing each other. They step on each other. They poop on each other's grass. I mean, you can't get closer than that. And when you live this close to each other, my friends, things can get tense and they can get rocky. But you know what a sheep cannot do if they want to flourish? They cannot bail on the flock because someone stepped on their toes one day. They cannot bail on the flock because someone cut them off on the way to pasture or because someone buys off key. They can't do it. Not if they're all going to make it together. There's no way. And if one of those sheep gets annoyed and said, "You guys go on, I'm staying here. You're not my flock anymore." Guess who misses out? That one. The rest go on with their shepherd and they're going to find some grass. And they distance themselves from not just the sheep, but guess who else they're distanced from? The shepherd. Because the shepherd hangs out where his flock hangs out. And it is the same with us as his people. When we live life close together as the sheep in our good Lord's pasture, we're going to step on some toes, right? Someone in this room is going to annoy you before long. They probably already have. Someone in this room is going to hurt you. And I can tell you now, if you bail on this whole community because someone stepped on your toes or pooped on your grass, or if you run away or just isolate yourself, or if you say, "Well, I'm going to show up, but I'm going to hold all 100 of them at arm's length. I'm not going to let anybody too much in because they are mean." I tell you, you will be the one who misses out on God's greatest care. Because the shepherd loves his crazy little flocks, and we are one of them. And he does his very best work when we are determined to offer each other grace upon grace so we might keep working together and enjoying our shepherd as one. And you know, it goes beyond these walls too. People are like, "Yeah, well, if God's a good shepherd and there's no lack, then why are there so many starving people in the world?" Turns out the world is one big flock. And turns out there is more than enough food to feed all of us. Did you know that there is enough food every year that is produced to feed 10 billion people? You know, there's only like 7.5 billion on Earth right now. If you do the math, more food than there are people. There's enough technology out there to get clean water to quench the thirst of all who are thirsty. But when we as the sheep, when we take what is ours and we hoard it and we waste it, we forget that we belong to each other. And then all of us has lack because some of our flock has lack. Americans, I'm one of them, we are wasteful. 108 billion pounds of food a year. That's 40% of our food supply ends up directly in the trash. 40% of our food supply. We could feed the entire world with that and then some. But when the flock, when we're hoarding, when we're wasting what we've got and watch others go hungry, there is going to be lack. And it's not because our shepherd is not good. It's because the flock, his sheep, aren't fully reflecting his heart one to another. Cannot be a sheep unless we are devoted to his flock. Devoted to his flock, we all might live abundantly. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. Daily walking with him, daily sharing my abundance and need with the flock, I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. What's your image of that? He makes me. Sounds a little forceful, doesn't it? It's like a parent getting mad at their kids and shouting, "Go to your room!" Or me to my dog when she's jumping on someone, "Charlie, lay down." It's not like that. Have you ever tried to make a sheep lay down? Guess what? You haven't because you can't do it. You cannot make a sheep lay down. Sheep are prey animals. And so they cannot, they will not lie down just by command. They won't do it. They will only lie down when they feel inside of themselves perfectly safe and totally content. A sheep will not lie down when its belly is grumbling, when their anxiety is raging. They can't do it. You see, the shepherd God doesn't force the sheep to the ground and hold them there. He knows those things that stir in their hearts. And he carries those things in his very own hands so his little sheep can breathe and can lie down and can rest. He's got his sheep, and so they can rest. Matthew 14, Jesus is looking out at this crowd of over 5,000 people, and it's late in the day, and they are hungry, and they've got nothing to eat. Verse 19, Matthew says, "Then Jesus ordered the crowds to sit down on the grass." Why did Matthew add that detail? I mean, there's over 10,000 people there. Where else are they going to sit? Of course they're going to sit on the grass. But you see, it's not just a side note. This is key that he had them sit on the grass. Jesus is intentionally taking upon himself this beautiful promise of Psalm 23. He's saying, it's me. I'm the good shepherd. Make my people lie down in green pastures. He's saying to any who will hear, I am your good shepherd. Come to me and I will attend to those grumblings in your bellies. I will attend to those anxious stirrings in your heart. With me, my little sheep, Jesus is saying, you can sit down in green pastures because it is his joy to care for you. Is today the day that you might dare to quiet down those frantic voices in your head and just for a while sit patiently in the presence of Jesus, just trusting for a moment that he sees you and he loves you and he's already moving on your behalf? Lie down in those green pastures and let your Jesus know that he's got this. Just try it. See if he does. And finally, he leads me beside still waters. We watched a video of a shepherd leading a flock from the front. Don't you love that? My stepdad is a rancher. He's got all these cows. And I tell you, ranching is a whole different thing than shepherding. With all these cows, when he wants them to do things, he uses all kinds of tools. Horses, four-wheelers, big trucks. These poor cows get prodded and they get poked and they get separated and they get pushed along and shoved in this gate and then that gate. Cows don't cooperate with you. And so you got to push them around. You got to kind of intimidate them. You got to have a bigger tool. You got to make a cow do what you want a cow to do. Praise God, he didn't say, I am the Lord and I am your rancher. He said, I am your shepherd. He leads us not by poking and prodding until we finally get our act together and walk with him. No, he just walks ahead and invites us to come with him, trusting that what he has for us is good or not. Your choice. And these sheep, they follow that shepherd every single day because 1,000 times over, they have seen that this shepherd has actually led them where there is food and where there is water. And 1,000 times over, this shepherd has stepped in to protect them. And then in these flocks, there's even little baby sheep, and they haven't seen that. But you know what they see? They see mama and daddy sheep. And mom and daddy sheep, they know the shepherd and they are following the shepherd. So little baby sheep, they trust mom and daddy. Mom and daddy trust the big shepherd so they can trust the big shepherd. You see how it works? It's all this beautiful act of trust and invitation. My friends, God is not going to force you to live in his presence. He's not. And God is not going to guilt you into loving him most of all. He's not. And God's not going to poke you along until you finally trust him with your gifts and your money and your time and your everything. He's not. He's just going to walk in the way of life before you and invite you to come along if you choose to. Because God is a good shepherd and God is love, and love is never forceful. Is God leading you? Have you asked him recently where he's going so you can follow? Did you wake up this morning seeking his face first Or do you find that in your life you just kind of wander around day to day doing your own thing, wondering why you still feel so thirsty deep in your soul? The shepherd, he knows the way to the only waters that satisfy. And you are welcome. You're invited to walk with him and be filled to overflowing or not. Because he leads from the front. Gentle and kind. Unforceful, no manipulation. Just an invitation to remember all he's done for you up until now. So you can trust and see and taste again today that your Lord, he is good. Or don't. He leaves it up to you. And so as we prepare to come to his table today, we have the invitation again to turn our hearts back to our Jesus. The invitation to admit once again that we have this need that is only for our good shepherd who loved us so much that he laid down his life for his sheep. That's us. And so it is our joy to bring our hearts before him again. Before we come to the table, could I just lead us through a moment of some prayer? Just between you, your heart, and your good shepherd, God's heart. I'm going to ask a few questions, and let's just close our eyes and be in a place of prayer. And as I ask these questions, answer them from your heart in the presence of God. And see if your heart can't be fully ready to receive the bread and the cup at his table. This morning, would you say that the Lord really is your shepherd? Talk to him about that. And if he already is, or if you want him to be, let him know how you'll watch for him and listen to him. And walk with them this week. Would you talk to your Jesus about where you feel lack in your life today? And ask him to show you where it's coming from. Could it be a lack of trust? Could we be wearing ourselves out, being our own shepherds? Are you living at a distance from his flock? Are you helping to alleviate the lack of others in this flock? Are you committed to knowing these people and being a part of God's heart on display right here in our midst? And is there someone in this flock that you need to forgive for stepping on your toes? So we can enjoy this pasture with our shepherd Jesus together. Would you dare to forgive them in this time of prayer? And finally, has the Lord been allowed to lead you this week? Are you waiting for him to beg you to follow? Because he won't. Or are you ready to walk with him intimately, faithfully, step by step? This week, talk to your Jesus, your good shepherd, and let us come to his table, trusting that he will fill us in our deepest places of need.